From Midtown Studios at Allied Headquarters, this is the Allied Angle, where we take an in-depth look at current market trends with industry experts. I'm your host, Amber Guthrie with Allied Solutions. Coming up, redefining innovation in the financial industry, next on the Allied Angle. Welcome to the Allied Angle, your auditory complement to Allied Solutions e-newsletter, Allied Insights. Today, we are ecstatic to welcome back the show's very first guest, Allied's Executive Vice President and Chief Growth Officer, Mark Bogalski. Mark, I honestly can't believe that it has been a full year since you joined us for our first episode. Welcome back.
That's crazy. First of all, thank you for having me back, but I was thinking about the same thing. I can't believe it's been a year.
We've come so far.
It's gone quick.
Well, we're going to have to make this an annual thing. Time, every year,
Let's
you have to come
it.
Back. Book yeah. it. Book
Can
it.
Can we do one in Florida next time?
Please. That would be amazing. So a little refresher for our listeners. Mark joined Allied in 2004 and has more than 30 years of experience in the financial services industry with extensive experience in sales management, strategic planning, business development, and team building. Before his promotion to Executive Vice President and Chief Growth Officer, Mark served as Allied Senior Vice President and Chief Growth Officer and was the Senior Vice President of the Southern Region, where he focused on business development, management, and operational oversight of all markets in Allied's Southern Region. Mark received his Bachelor of Business Administration from Iowa State University, Ivy College of Business, and holds a professional designation as a chartered life underwriter. Mark resides in warm and sunny Florida with his family and enjoys golfing, playing ice hockey, biking, running, and all the outdoor activities. Mark, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you, Amber. And before we get started, just want to say congratulations to you. It has been a year. The Allied Angle has just blown up, and it is so cool to see the success that you have had doing this. So,
well, congrats. Thank you. It definitely takes a village, so yeah. It is our whole team. So we are excited for a brand new year.
Absolutely.
But a lot has happened in this last year since we've last chatted. We have included a new addition called our Accelerated Q&A, which is just a nice little icebreaker way for our listeners to get to know you just a little bit better.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Where did you grow up?
Grew up outside of Chicago in a town called Arlington Heights, which is a northwest suburb of Illinois.
What was your dream job up there in that Chicago area?
Gosh.
As kiddo.
I grew up being a big hockey fan. And if we're talking dream jobs, professional hockey player.
One of my favorite questions, what is your favorite genre of music?
Gosh, I would say classic rock, but it really depends on the day because I like it all. And right now I would say Chris Stapleton country is what I'm into.
Okay.
So that's top of the playlist right now.
Very nice.
Yeah.
How about cooking? Do you have a best dish that you can create?
Well, gosh, love food.
Eating it or making it?
Both. I wish I had more time to make it. We've really experimented a lot, but I would say my go-to and whenever we have people over is probably barbecued ribs. And it's not the way you would think that people cook them. It's in a Chinese roasting box. It's called a kahachina.
Oh.
And it is the most amazing invention. It literally cooks the ribs in about an hour and a half, where I season them with a dry rub before I put them in. And then once they're done, they are kind of fall off the bone, have a nice crust on them, put some barbecue sauce. And I have had people tell me that I should open up my own restaurant with these ribs. So I would say that's probably my go-to right now.
Well, I think I know my husband's next birthday present. What are the top three items on your bucket list?
Ooh, bucket list. I would say number one has to be playing golf at Augusta National. It's a long shot.
But I think that's every golfer's dream.
Yeah, I don't know if that's ever going to happen for me, but would love it. I would say number two would be to get current again with my private pilot's license. I got that years ago and just got away from it. Just didn't have the time to stay up to date with it. And it's one of those things where you've got to really kind of work at it and just, you know, be up to speed and know what you're doing. You can't just stop
just
and start.
Wing it.
Yeah, you can't just wing it. So I'd like to try to do that again at some point when I have more time. And I would say the last thing would be to volunteer in some capacity at a animal rescue or nonprofit of some kind, mm-hmm. either in a board capacity or even walking animals. I would do that just because I am a big animal guy and just enjoy being around them.
And last one, yeah. What's the best advice you have ever received?
Whatever you decide to do, give it 110%. Whether it's sports, business, school, family, relationships, don't go in at 80% or 90%. Go 110%. Otherwise, you're shortchanging yourself. And I think it's a great philosophy and is so applicable. I tell my kids the same thing is, you know, find something you love to do that you're into and just give it 110% because the results will follow.
All right, Mark. So let's talk business, innovation, technology. Oh, my. It's a brand new year, a fresh start. Businesses and people are prioritizing and reprioritizing their goals and focuses for this year. Can you tell us a little bit about what Allied is focusing on this year?
Sure. And I like what you said about reprioritizing because we are coming off of a unprecedented year in a lot of areas, especially with economic conditions, inflation, interest rates. It's been crazy. So I think it's important that we not only go into the year with priorities, but we also are agile enough to reprioritize when we need to. And I would say from an Allied perspective, it's really, say, four areas that I think about in terms of our priorities. First, starting with innovation and leveraging technology and data. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is looking at AI, for example. That's a hot topic right now.
Hot topic.
And it's a big part of our business, too, and how we're evolving and elevating our business. Digital, robotics, we're incorporating all of that into the way that we're not just working, but also serving our clients. When I think about the investment Allied is making in terms of technology and data, we're probably going to spend about $75 million in 2024.
Wow.
And I don't see that getting lower year over year. But that's what companies need to do in order to stay relevant, mm-hmm. in order to stay competitive. And I'll throw one more thing in there, too, in terms of where we're innovating and tapping into data, is helping our clients manage lending and collections risk along with compliance and regulatory risk. Those are really hot topics right now. They were starting to become real in 2023, but I think in 2024, there's so much risk out there. But that's a big area for us. And I think the other thing that we can't lose sight of is helping our clients maximize non-interest income. Mm-hmm. Doing that in a way, though, that enhances the consumer experience and adds value to the consumer. So you've got to find that balance there. And I would say the fourth priority is our M&A activity. So when you think about all these things that I just mentioned, you get there one of two ways. You either build it, and we do a lot of proprietary stuff, but the other way is to make acquisitions and mergers. And we have been extremely active in that area. And I see 2024 being as active or more active than we were in 2023. So I would say those are really the four priorities going into this year, subject to change as the year goes on.
So can you give us any hints of any mergers or acquisitions coming up this year that you can share?
All of these are subject to NDAs. So, but want to keep my job? I really can't.
I tried. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say that with your 30 plus years of experience, you've gotten pretty good with keeping your ear to the ground. What have you been hearing from FIs as far as their focus for this year? Has there been any sort of common theme out there?
It's a great question. I don't know if I would say a common theme. I would say there are definitely themes out there. Mm-hmm. And one of the opportunities in a theme perspective is the opportunity to take advantage of some portfolio diversification and higher yield lending. And a good way to look at that is you've got investments that financial institutions have made that have been on their balance sheet for probably 2 to 3 years that are starting to mature over the next 12 months. And what that's going to do is a lot of those investments are lower interest rate type of investments. We're in a different interest rate environment today than we were 2 or 3 years ago. So what that's going to do is allow financial institutions to take advantage of some higher yielding investments. Drive some interest income that way, but also make loans that are a little bit more current from a yield perspective. So that'll be important It's also going to free up some liquidity. Last year we talked about liquidity as being an issue.
Also a big word for last year.
Yeah, as these investments start to mature, it's going to free up liquidity as well. And it kind of ties into another area that I think is a theme for our clients, and that's ROA management and expense control and operational efficiency. The inflation environment that we were in 2023 was pretty dramatic in terms of having a negative impact on income and earnings with our clients. So that's really forced our clients to draw attention into return on assets. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a theme again for 2024. And even this morning, I saw the consumer price index numbers come out higher than what was expected, which means inflation is still a real deal, which means that the Fed is not going to lower interest rates anytime in the near future. Hopefully, by the second half of the year, we'll start seeing some more relief mm-hmm. on interest rates. But as long as inflation is still an issue, they're going to keep those interest rates elevated to try to tamper that down. And that has a big impact on our clients and their balance sheets. So I would say that's an area. And then the other part of it, not to add fuel to the fire, but I talked about this risk environment that people are in. And this has really gotten crazy because, again, economic conditions, you've got these high interest rates. And what's happening as a result of that is you've got affordability issues. You've got credit quality issues, consumer debt levels at approaching record levels. One of the things that I saw was where we are with delinquency rates. We are at delinquency rates, especially in the mid-prime or below-prime tiers, and delinquencies are going up across all credit tiers. But when you look at some of those mid to lower prime rates, they're approaching 30-year highs. Problem with that is delinquency rates have always been an indicator of upcoming repossession activity and foreclosure activity. So we came out of 2023 with a projected auto repossession total of about 1.5 million repossessions. That was projected. We ended the year over 2 million.
Oh, wow.
So I think as you think about that and how that affects our clients, they're preparing for they're already seeing increased delinquencies, but now the other shoe is going to drop. Unfortunately, I think where we're going to start seeing higher repossessions and more foreclosures. So mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of work that our clients are doing to prepare for that, and we're certainly a partner in trying to help them prepare for that. So I think that's a theme. Another theme is artificial intelligence. Grandview Research published some numbers recently that said they expect a 37% year-over-year growth rate in AI by 2030. And they're also saying that AI will make a 21% boost to our national GDP by 2030. Mm-hmm. That's pretty significant. I can't think of very many things that have that significant of an impact just overall, but especially when it comes to financial services. So keep an eye on that because I think that's going to be a big theme this year. And then the last piece, I would say that's a theme around the business our clients are doing is consumer loyalty. So last year we really focused hard. They focused hard on driving deposits into their organizations. And that's going to continue to be a big deal this year in terms of capturing different segments of the market, different demographics to drive deposits into their organizations. Give you an example, Gen Z, that demographic right there is pretty powerful. They have access today mm-hmm. to $360 billion of spending power. And over the next 10 years, they're projected to inherit over $11 trillion of wealth. So think about a financial institution that were able to capture that segment of the market, how much of an impact that could make.
That's huge. That focus really has to be there for financial institutions to pay attention to them and give them what they need, and because that is the generation of, you know, we if we don't like you, we're leaving. We don't need to stay here, and the kind right. of like you have to step up your game.
Yeah. So Gen Z, Gen Y, they have very little patience in terms of they want convenience, they want access, they want instant gratification.
Yep.
And if we're not leveraging technology in a way and data in a way that really drives relevant recommendations in a meaningful way. Mm-hmm. to that demographic, we're going to miss the boat. So I know we're focused on that in terms of being able to provide that support to our clients, and our clients are focused on it too.
Did you know you can stay up to date on even more current market trends by subscribing to the Allied Insights e-newsletter? It's only once a month, so it won't flood your inbox. Sign up at alliedsolutions.net/subscribe. So innovation obviously was a really big talking point for 2023, so much that I think we've even dedicated more than one episode talking about it. Yeah. So looking into your very own crystal ball, how can we define what innovation really means in our industry?
When I think about innovation and the way that we think about innovation organizationally, we kind of lump it into three areas. You got product innovation, office culture innovation, and technology innovation. So those are the three main areas. And if you were to break those down individually on the product side, for example, it's really improving the customer or member experience, mm-hmm. I would say, is kind of the foundation of product innovation, meaning how do you incorporate digital, mobile, remote banking, online banking to the way that folks like to be served, especially when you think about Gen Z and Gen Y. They're all about ease of use, creating a seamless, frictionless experience, and they want instant gratification. So things around product innovation that speak to that are going to be critical. Office culture innovation is another one that maybe sometimes gets taken for granted, but that's a big deal because as companies tend to evolve, more technology comes into play, and enabling team members mm-hmm. in a corporate environment to be able to make decisions quicker, to make recommendations internally and externally based on relevant data is going to be really important too. It's going to be a different way to think about how we function day to day in the office. So then you've got digital and technology innovation. And this is a lot of what we're talking about today that has to do with AI, for example. Generative artificial intelligence is a big deal. Looking at diving deeper with data analytics to determine outcomes that are, and I'm going to use this word a lot, relevant. You're not just throwing darts. You're looking at really curating data in a way that enables us to be more specific and meaningful when we talk about different recommendations for products or services. And then kind of a new addition to the technology conversation is open banking. Open banking really involves being able to tap into data mm-hmm. through APIs and exchange information in a way that we've never been able to do in the U.S., at least until recently. And the CFPB just issued some guidance on this in the fall of 2023. Open banking is already a big deal around the world, but we are a little bit of a late adapter to it. But I think that's going to be another game changer when it comes to how we tap into data from a banking perspective.
So why are we so far behind when it comes to open banking?
You know, I think it's just the regulatory environment mm-hmm. around exchanging data and tapping into different systems through these interfaces that are out there. You've got to build the interface first. So you've got the technology constraint to build the interface. And then how do you use that data in a way that's compliant and not violating privacy? And that's one of the things that I think we've got to be sensitive to, because technology is awesome, AI is awesome, but you do run the risk of privacy violations, you run the risk of fraud, mm-hmm. malicious activity. So you've got all these different components that kind of are an add-on to some of the cool stuff that comes along with this new technology.
A little risk versus reward.
Yeah.
When you talk about digital and tech innovation, it has to be impacting how FIs are approaching everything from their consumer experience and communication to product choices to even tackling regulation changes. Mm-hmm. How has digital and tech innovation impacted these and maybe some other areas for FIs, and what should they be looking out for this year?
Yeah, so we started seeing this over the last 12 to 18 months, and this is a shift towards personalized digital-first interaction. We've talked about Sunday Sky, for example, mm-hmm. and using personalized videos to connect with consumers. So this is a trend that is continuing to develop, and the key there is the personalization piece. It's not just putting something out there that's static or generic. It is really speaking to you and I as consumers and being able to engage those consumers via their phones. You know, it's that type of thing. It's the electronic delivery of these services and how you're engaging. So I think that's one of the shifts that we're seeing. I would say the other part of it is the communication aspect of it. Being able to stream or feed information to the consumer on a regular basis, whether it's through text, whether it's through email, or video for that matter, but being able to do it on a regular basis, not a one and done event. So the more repetition you can add into that communication cycle, the more chance you have of connecting with that consumer. So we're seeing that happen. And I think one of the other things that we're starting to see, which isn't quite there yet, but hot topic for 2024, is a different way to promote convenience in the buying process. And that's through product bundling. That's through embedded finance. And again, using data analytics to predict and present products in a way that people can consume. So those are big areas there. You know, again, I think a lot of this can be driven through AI, but we've got to be cautious on how we're deploying and using AI. We just can't go all in and say this is the best thing that's ever happened, because there's a lot of opportunity and potential with it. But again, going back to data security and privacy, and when you're talking about generative AI that's making decisions on behalf of a person, you run the risk of getting into discriminatory and unfair business practices, and that's a red flag. So you've got to just temper that in a way that you're making sure there are good controls and monitors in place around technology like generative AI.
Sounds like the CFPB will be staying in business for a while with AI.
You know they will.
So products have adapted quickly to the tech changes we've been seeing, especially with the buzz of generative AI in this last year. So as a forward-thinking company ourselves, Allied has embraced this in some of our product offerings. And this is where I'm going to insert the shameless plug for Sunday Sky, the multi-award-winning video platform with generative AI capabilities. How much of a game changer has AI been for established products like a Sunday Sky, especially within such a competitive landscape?
Significant. and here's the reality, Amber. I think we're just scratching the surface right now. I can tell you from an Allied perspective, there are plans in 2024 to use AI in an external capacity, use it behind the scenes. The impact has been profound. It honestly has. But there's so much more. There's so much more that is going to happen. We talked about the growth rates of AI. So you're going to see AI play a bigger role in not just what the industry is doing, but what Allied is doing. Two good examples: we have a website that allows borrowers to input insurance information to help our clients track insurance information. We're deploying AI technology into that website to make it easier. And again, it's about creating efficiency, convenience, and a cost-effective way to do business and make it as seamless as possible for the consumer to engage with their financial institution or engage with us directly. So that's one example. Another example I talked about behind the scenes, we're deploying AI in a co-pilot situation with our call center. And there's a technology called natural language processing that transcribes caller input information from that call and uses that in real time to make informed, relevant suggestions on how to solve a problem that occurs and how to make recommendations using AI technology. So that's something that's going to be happening within our call centers around the country in 2024. And that's just part of some of the applications that we're diving into with AI.
And I'm sure that is just freeing up an actual human, though, to deal with more critical issues.
Right,
in the meantime.
Right. So it will be intelligent enough and intuitive enough to determine what can be handled in an AI capacity and what needs to be transferred to a human capacity. So knowing that and being able to discern that is, again, I mean, to me, it's mind-blowing. But that's the reality that we're in right now. This is the type of technology that's out there.
And it's also a good reminder that AI is not replacing human jobs. We are obviously still needed because, as you said, it's going to have to decide whether it can handle it or if it needs to be passed off?
I hope so. We need our jobs.
When they start doing sales, we're all in trouble. Back in December, the Digital Banking Report posted survey results revealing that 80% of financial service execs believe AI will be used by more than 50% of financial institutions to improve customer services by 2030. Now, after the rapid rise of AI just in the last year alone, this seems like a really slow adoption. What is contributing to this kind of slow conversion mindset? And is it a comfort level for FIs? What's happening there?
Yeah. Interesting dynamic there, because I think we all really believe that AI is cool and the capabilities are endless with AI, and it all sounds great. But there's a difference between sounding great and actually deploying it into the real world. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we are right now. We're kind of at that point with, okay, yeah, we know we're going to do this, but how are we going to do it? And there's three headwinds that we're all looking at right now and facing when it comes to AI, and that is regulatory complexity. So you mentioned the CFPB. Mm-hmm. They're all over this. You've got different state and federal requirements from a compliance perspective that we've got to make sure that we're not violating when it comes to AI, especially generative AI. Then you've got the integration component, which is integrating with your other technology, which is not easy to do and expensive. So you've got that piece. And then the culture aspect, which is change and how people deal with change and really being open-minded enough to allow AI to become a real thing. We'll get there eventually, but it's going to take some time.
So with credit unions traditionally being more conservative than banks, do you see that hesitation being more on the credit union side than the banking side?
I don't. I think from a credit union perspective, they, in a lot of cases, when it comes to technology, tend to be a little bit more nimble. Mm-hmm. So I would say they may have an advantage in terms of incorporating some of the new technology when it comes to AI than other financial institutions. So I think it's an advantage for credit unions right now in terms of where they are and how they're playing in the AI space.
So they're definitely not being left behind in this instance.
Not at all.
Changing gears a little bit to organizational innovation. Mm-hmm. It has been a big one for Allied over the last couple of years, and one that applies honestly to all businesses. When we had Dave Hilger on back in the fall, he talked about the importance of adapting to new market conditions and the need to stay relevant to obtain growth. With new solutions and evolving markets for us to keep up with and adapt to this year, how is Allied preparing for those changes? And do you have any advice for businesses tackling similar hurdles?
That is awesome. because there's so many choices out there and so many things you could do, but that's where you get in trouble. So from an Allied perspective, I think one of the things that we're very cognizant of is to focus on the markets and the products that we're leaders in, that we do well. We don't want to be the followers. We want to be the leaders, and we want to make sure that we're focused enough that we're maximizing the things that we do well. We know that we can't be all things to all people. When you try to become all things to all people, that's when you get in trouble, and that's where you dilute your value proposition. So we're very sensitive to that. And from an organizational perspective, I think when you talk about change and how you incorporate change, there's two things that have to occur there. You've got to have clear ownership of roles and responsibilities and accountability. If you have those two things, the chances of success increase dramatically. So that is part of our Ally DNA right now, is to make sure that we stay focused on those areas. And the other one is just innovating and cultivating this type of culture, which for us means encouraging creativity, encouraging smart risk-taking by our employees. You don't want to constrict the ability of your employees and your teams to make decisions and sometimes make mistakes. Mm-hmm. Mistakes are okay as long as we learn from them. But the advice I would give, not just to Allied, but to any organization, when you go through technology change, the main thing to keep in mind is stay focused on the customer. if you stay focused on your customer and what the needs are of your client, chances are you're going to make the right decisions as long as you're dialed into that. And the last thing I would say about it is maintaining organizational agility. In other words, being able to pivot when you need to. We talked about how crazy this environment is that we're in. So you've got to be able to be agile and adapt to changes when change management is needed.
And not be afraid to. Just got to change gears.
Right. And that's a big deal because there is a reluctance sometimes to kind of deviate from the track that you're on, but you have to be able to be agile enough to make that happen.
So in a recent interview, I'm going to take you back here a few months, you mm-hmm. said, quote unquote, innovators are thought leaders and thought leaders innovate. What does this mean to you and how does it relate to organizational growth and relationships? And lastly, can I get that on a t-shirt?
The t-shirt part is easy. Explaining it may be a little bit different. No, I did say that actually. Good research on your part to come up with that quote. But
I did some digging. Yeah.
But I would say, in my opinion, innovators and thought leaders have two things in common. They provide intelligent insight and innovative ideas, and they also challenge the status quo. So maybe that's three things. But
keep going. The list is that.
Well,
go.
but that's important. And I'll tell you, it's important because our clients expect and demand that from us. Showing up is not enough anymore. So we've got to be able to bring in innovation and thought leadership. The two are not necessarily mutually exclusive. They really feed off each other. And I think it's foundational in today's business environment. And I also think it's what drives prioritization and urgency when it comes to buying decisions. So pretty critical aspects of how we approach our business. It's really a mindset that results in mutual success and growth between us and folks that we're working with.
Mark, that is a wrap. Thank you so much for joining us again. Let's definitely make this an annual thing in Florida. I'm all for that. So take the team and head south January of next year. How about that?
Let's do it. And thank you for being such a great host, too.
Thank you very much. Thank you for being such a great guest. Company culture can make or break any institution. Tune in to the Allied Angle next month when I sit down with Allied's National VP Client Performance, Julianne Wessinger, to discuss the latest in employee engagement and training. Next on the Allied Angle.